For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that was a long time ago, back when there were a few of you, a handful of you, that thought if you complained loudly enough or often that my tenure here on After Hours might be truncated. Sorry, I suppose you're not listening anymore. So yay for the rest of you that stuck around and our new peeps, because every weekend during the summer, I know I hear from people who've only recently found the show, and that's good too. People out of their typical routines during the summertime. I know there are a lot of people on the roads, a lot of people that are maybe not sticking to the familiar work routines that they go through during the school year slash September to May or June. So it's good to welcome new peeps into the fold. I say, give me 2 weeks and you'll be hooked. You might love the show and decide you need us to keep you company anytime that we're on the air, or you might hate the show, but you have to keep listening because you need to hear the next stupid thing I'll say to fuel your obsession. It works both ways, as long as you're listening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Still have a dreaded blue screen next to me on my left as a reminder of what happened on Thursday and Friday. We were supposed to have former pro soccer goalie Jesse Bradley join us from Seattle on Thursday night, but we couldn't because we're having all kinds of issues with the phones and the computers and how we were able to bring sound into the control room. So we had to ask him to wait until tonight, but thankfully he is willing to do that. And it's go time for the U.S. men's national team, for U.S. soccer. There has got to be a coach in place soon because we are hosting the World Cup in 2 years. And right now we don't even have a coach. Am I the only one that is freaking out about this? So anyway, find me online at A-Law Radio. I just retweeted the picture of the blue screen because it's happening again. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, phone number 855-212-4227. And yes, we're pleased to welcome back Jesse Bradley, who is not only a former pro soccer goalie himself, he's been with us as an analyst for the last World Cup, and now we head into the Olympics. Also, Seattle Sounders chaplain and a pastor in Seattle himself. And Jesse, I can't sugarcoat my panic. I'm a little bit nervous about things. Why is it that after bringing back Greg Berhalter, he doesn't last, the Americans lose in Copa America, and now a change is required again?
We just had a terrible showing at the tournament, Copa America. We did not make it past the group stage. And to put that in context, since 1975, this is the only host or home nation not to advance. We won our first match, but then we lost to Panama. One of our players got a red card, and to lose to Panama was pretty devastating. Then we also lost to Uruguay. And in 19 previous tournaments at home, we've never lost at this point. But here's the bigger picture, Amy. Greg Berhalter is no longer the coach. It was a decent run in some regards. We had a lot of success against Mexico, which is the primary rival for the U.S. But when we played against top 15 teams in the world, we were 0-5-5. And not including the Mexican games. And then we also, against the top 25 teams, we were 2-6-7. So like you mentioned, the timing is terrible because there's less than 2 years until the World Cup, which is going to be here in the U.S., 12 cities. Seattle's one of them. And 2 years might sound like a long time, but it's not when you're trying to build momentum as a national team, because we have no more major tournaments. It'll be a lot of friendlies. We automatically qualify for the World Cup because we're a host nation, so we don't play all those competitive games. And a national team isn't practicing together all the time. The players are playing for their clubs. They're scattered. So to try to build that continuity, to buy into the new coach, the new system, and this is a rare opportunity to host the World Cup. The World Cup, the largest sporting event in the world, 5 billion people watching. For U.S. soccer, it could be a major step forward. But right now, we've been plateauing and then declining, going the wrong direction. Now we don't have a coach. I think back to the year 2002, we made it to the quarterfinals, the final 8 teams in the World Cup, one of our best ever showings. And actually, one of my high school teammates played on that, in that team, and we lost to Germany in the quarterfinals. So that was like a high point. We were thinking U.S. soccer is going to take off. And since then, we've been sputtering. Different coaches. There has just not been the level of development. And the talk right now is who should be the next coach. Some people think it should be someone in the MLS. We have Tarundolo, Nancy, a couple of coaches are doing well, LAFC, Columbus. But keep your eye on Vieira, and he was an incredible player in France. He's coached in the U.S., England, and France. He's someone I think they might go with. I'm not convinced they're going to stick domestically. I think they're going to look outside the box, which, why not take a risk? You know, why not go for someone, in my opinion, that has a lot of experience in Europe, has played at the highest levels? I think we need kind of a breath of fresh air. So that's my lean on the selection. But we tried for Klopp, who just finished as a Liverpool coach, and he would have been unbelievable. That would have been phenomenal for U.S. soccer. But not everyone wants to take this position, realizing it's a tight spot with the World Cup coming. And we really need the next 2 years to be strong for our men's soccer, which I think would thrust us forward for the next decade. So this is a crucial time in the history of men's soccer in the U.S.
Patrick Vieira, it reportedly in talks with the U.S. men's national team to become its next head coach. Jesse, I can tell you what I think looks wrong about U.S. soccer, but since you played and were a professional goalie, what is wrong? What is holding Team USA back?
Everyone has their own theories. And for a long time, it was we weren't developing the high-quality young talent. But you look at our younger players now, and they're strong. Then we had a lot of times the excuse or the reasoning. We would rationalize it by saying our players were not playing overseas in the top clubs. But now you look, and we are representing in the very best leagues in the world, and the players are doing well. So what is it? What's the missing piece? And I really think for me, coaching, now Berhalter was not as bad as a lot of people say. Brought some unity. I think he got some results. I think he worked hard. But I'll say this. I believe from youth soccer, if you have kids that play, your most important decision is who's the coach. Because that coach will set the culture. That coach will provide the insights. That coach knows how to motivate. That coach knows how to select. That coach can really bring out the best in everyone that's on the team. And I think it's true at every level, including the national team. So in my opinion, the better selection we make here, it's going to be directly linked to our success. And that to me is the missing piece. But what do you think?
Well, I think as much as we have incredible conditioning and athleticism and speed, and we have the ability to control and possess the ball, it seems like we always get bogged down. Too safe, too conservative, too much in the middle of the field. I want them to play with wild abandon. I want them to play like their hair is on fire. And it doesn't seem like we get to that point, even though we do have a young group that is incredibly athletic. It never seems like we are the ones who are the aggressor. We're the ones who are forcing the issue. Just seems like we get so clogged and so bogged down in the middle of the field.
That's an interesting perspective. And what I would say to that is we had our early success. What I mentioned 20 years ago, how did we do that? Well, we just focused on defense. We didn't even think we could compete against the top teams. And so we weren't aggressive. We didn't take all those risks. And you can do reasonably well if you're able to stop the opposition and you have a really tight, secure defense. But then what happened? We started to gain more skill. We got professional soccer in the U.S. MLS started to improve. And as we gain more skill, we start to move forward more. And I would say it's a little betwixt and between. We know we're not the level of Spain and Germany. And so we played just like you described against the Netherlands, and then we lost because we got exposed on the counterattacks. And so we're not yet dominant enough to attack that beautiful sport, you know, the beautiful attacking game. We're not quite that fluid yet, are not what we used to be, and we're not just going to go in the defensive shell. So I think we're kind of in between. The right coach, I think, could get us to play the way you described, but we're going to need some big steps forward to get there. And I also, the one I didn't mention is, in America, the top athletes are trying to choose between six different sports. A lot of the best ones don't play soccer. In every other country, soccer is a clear number one. There's no close second. And so they really do get the best athletes, and they're committed to soccer from an early age, whereas a lot of times our athletes are playing multiple sports for a long time. So I think that's another factor, but U.S. overall is trending in the right direction. The better coaching, better youth soccer, younger players are getting better. We're playing in higher leagues. There's a lot of things that are trending up, but there's a couple areas we still need to turn that corner.
Is it too late for the United States with this upcoming World Cup? Is 2 years enough?
It can happen. I think the talent's still there, and with the right coaching, we can get there. The U.S., in my opinion, really needs to advance past the group stage. That's like the minimum bar. You've got to move on. You can't host the World Cup and then lose right away, and I think we can do that. I don't have any reason to think we couldn't, but the clock's ticking. A great coach accelerates progress. And I don't think it's going to be as much about the 2 years as it'll be who comes in. And you say, you know, am I putting too much on the coach? I don't think so, because there's a lot of other pieces that are there. The other thing you could look at is overall who's running and the leadership, even beyond the coach, because you have someone like Jesse Marsh, who for a while was a candidate to coach our national team. Well, what happened? Now he's there in Canada, and look what happened. Canada just made it, you know, far beyond anyone's expectations. So I think that's case in point again. You get the right coach and they can develop the players and achieve incredibly high levels of success.
We're really excited to welcome back Jesse Bradley from Seattle. And he is a pastor. He's an author. He's a chaplain, actually, for the Sounders. And we'll talk about that coming up. Former pro soccer goalie himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I got to ask, since you played overseas, have you ever seen a situation like what we got in Miami for the Copa Final, where the crowd was swarming over the top of gates and barriers? They actually had to take the players off the field, put them back in the locker rooms. They had to delay more than an hour because the crowd just took over and it turned into a near stampede.
It was a terrible scene. It was scary. And if you talk about things that are not good related to soccer, on the field, my first flaw with the sport would be all the flopping and the rolling around. And that's been documented for a long time. But what you're talking about here is much more serious, and it's off the field. And I think in many nations, the level of passion for soccer, there's nothing that comes close. Like, I mean, I'm someone of faith, and I kind of think, you know, faith should be an area where people are passionate. Well, soccer exceeds that in a lot of nations. And we all know when you're passionate about something, there's great potential. I mean, a country can be united. There can be singing, dancing, celebrations. Like, there's a lot of great things with passion. But the flip side of that strength is that sometimes it gets violent, it gets out of control, and we underestimate some of the dangers. We could see in the Copa America tournament, there was fighting between Uruguay and the Colombian fans. And as you watch that, even some of the players went up into the stands and were fighting with some of the spectators. And that was a disaster. Well, in my opinion, you can't have the two opposing fans from different nations next to each other. And if you go overseas and go to a soccer match, when you enter the stadium, you have to let them know which team are you supporting, and then you go in that gate. Even at the Sounders games here, the opposing team, their fans will often be, especially if it's a rival, up high in the corner of the stadium all together, far away. And overseas, it's so intense that you can't even wear the wrong colors. It's almost like neighborhoods and gangs, and it's that volatile. It's that competitive. People take it too seriously, and it can spill over. It's laden with dangers, threats, and you really have to have top-notch security. Now, that also ties into entering the stadium. We have the World Cup here in 2 years. It's going to be much more intense than that. So there needs to be a thorough review of what happened. I mean, people were literally climbing in the stadium through the ventilation system. There was the crushing that you saw in the crowds, people climbing over fences, pushing gates down, and trashing some of the equipment, the escalators. I mean, this is a stadium where the Miami Dolphins play. Delays in the game for an hour and a half. Many people thought the game should have been canceled. It was flat out of control, and they need to have a definite review of that. And then just be aware of the dynamics related to soccer. It's going to be more hyped up and more volatile than other sports. And again, soccer has more singing and dancing, and you have a lot of phenomenal things that happen with that passion. But on the flip side, you've got to be alert that things can quickly spill out of control. And what we saw there was a disaster, and it could have been much worse. People were treated, but fortunately no one was killed. That kind of stampede is just terrible. And there's nothing the police can do at some point, because how do you catch everyone? Yeah, our security, we need to move that up and organize things differently.
When the Colombian manager or coach indicated that his players were dealing with the anxiety in the locker room, it actually gave me a completely different perspective. I mean, he said they've got friends out there, they've got family members, they're worried about them. And so then I was thinking about our conversation and thinking about that anxiety and the pressure and wondering how much of the role of chaplain can impact and can help to assuage some of those emotions. So what is your role with the Seattle Sounders as chaplain?
Well, a chaplain plays a unique role because for professional athletes, people are always asking for more attention, more comments, more tickets to the games. And it's hard for professional athletes sometimes to know, who can I trust? Who's in my corner? In a chaplain, it's a role where you're there to support the players in what they need. And clubs know that there's more than just on the field performance, and how you care for players off the field is sometimes linked to on the field performance. And when you think about players today, all the pressure that they have, they are constantly facing adversity. And where's a safe place where they can just share how they're feeling? They can, you know, pray. You see this after games with the NFL, and a place where they can process the bigger picture of life. And that's what a chaplain does, coming alongside the players. And for so many players, faith is the rock of their life. Think about security for a minute. Players don't know if they get injured, it could be the end of their career. They don't know if they're going to get traded. They don't know how much starting time or playing time they're going to have in a game. They don't know what the coach is thinking. There's just so many things. Fans criticize them. Social media, if they make a bad play, it's endless. Like, where are you going to find your security? And faith is the bedrock for so many of the players. And some of them are more outspoken. Some you wouldn't know that. For me personally, I think back to when I was at Dartmouth College and I came in to college and I didn't believe in God, nothing to do with faith. And I put a lot of pressure on myself as a soccer goalkeeper. I didn't want to make any mistakes. That could mean a loss. And I was carrying so much stress. And then when I realized, like, I'm secure, who I am is not what I do. I'm loved by God. I started a relationship with Jesus, and now I can pray before the games. And that took the pressure off. I put soccer in perspective. Now I can enjoy it because it's a sport. It's fun again. And also I realized my whole identity is not linked to how well I play on the field. And there's so many things when you start, you know, to pray. It's like, pray for the health, pray for family relationships, pray for peace of mind, pray that they could use their talents. And the number of requests that come in, you can tell, athletes have to present like they have it all together. They have to present strong. You can't let your opponent see your weakness. You know, you're fighting for playing time. And where can an athlete go and just kind of take their guard down and be real, be human? And then that's a safe place. And so chaplains come alongside and really help athletes establish their identity, mental health, and then overcome some of those obstacles. Because for athletes, so much of the game comes down to mindset. And it comes down to perseverance, and it comes down to attitude and tenacity, and all of those things they tie into, yes, practice is important. Yes, skills are important. Yes, tactical is important. But we know there's so many intangibles in sports, and that's character. Sports reveals character, and character is linked to the deepest part of your core. And the more you develop that, it's just going to bear fruit on the field. So I'm thankful that, again, so many teams have chaplains and there's a care for the players, because for professional athletes, it's only going to last so long. And then who's thinking about helping them so that when their career ends, you know, what they gain in terms of the care, that's going to serve them well for all their years. And so that's kind of a glimpse with chaplaincy. Before the games, we have a chapel, and players show up. We have different topics, take prayer requests, and then whatever the players want to talk about. And we'll have the group, and then individuals will come over and say, hey, I got a question, or what do you think I should do here? And then, you know, the texting and the friendships. And it's just, it's a really, it's just a great way to connect with players and support them.
Relationships matter, both inside the locker room, outside the locker room, of course, family. As you point out, Jesse, there's always perspective when you play a sport or you have to perform in some other arena, but you know that you're grounded by family, friends, relationships, faith too, in many cases. All right, I need you to hang on. We're running a little bit late, but I have to ask you about the Olympics because they are on the horizon. Jesse Bradley from Seattle, couple more minutes after our break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just a couple more minutes with Jesse Bradley, former pro soccer goalie on the international stage, now chaplain for the Seattle Sounders. Good to hear what you do in that role in your first year, and also someone who's seen on the network news, speaker, author, 28 Days of Hope is one of his initiatives and one of his callings. And Jesse, you're so diverse, which is why we love having you on the show. All right, so just a couple more minutes, but I can't not ask about the Olympics because we know how big the World Cup is on the international stage and for other nations. How big are the Olympic Games around the world?
And Amy, if people are listening who don't know much about soccer, there's so much happening this summer. It's a great time to check out the sport. I know there's not as much scoring as other sports, but you're going to pick up some of the nuances. And the Olympics are coming up. Check out soccer. So for our team, for the U.S., for the men, they are all under 23 players. There are three that can be older. We've chosen defensemen, so Miles Robinson, Walker Zimmerman. That tells you something. We are not a favorite, and we are packing the defense. We are bringing in the veterans to try to strengthen the defense. But we have not qualified for the Olympics for the men since 2008. So the last two champs for the men, it was Brazil, but they're not back this year. They didn't qualify. So the favorites are going to be France, you know, Argentina, Spain. The same for the national teams for the men, the Olympics. And that tells you something. You develop the young players, and what's going to happen? Your national team's going to be amazing. And we're seeing young players develop. You know, think of Spain right now. We just had the European Championships, and there was a 16-year-old, Lamine Yamal from Spain, in the semifinal. So this is the youngest player to ever score in the Euro Championships. He's the youngest in so many categories. He just turned 17, so we can't say he's 16 anymore. The youngest to score for Spain, to score in the Spanish League, and then also score in the Champions League. And the goal he scored, it was a phenomenal goal. It was a banger. That's what my kids say. It was a banger, and it was against France in the semifinals. But that tells you something. And, you know, even with chaplaincy, you know, I'll be talking to someone who's a teenager. And imagine that spotlight, 16 years old. Like, I barely passed my driving test when I was 16. I was happy just to get a 70 and get my license. My parents didn't think I was ready. I mean, I can't imagine having the entire world with a spotlight on every move. Now with social media and, you know, everything. Lamine Yamal. And he's only 16. So what's happening, again, that development of the younger players, And that's how your national team improves. And when you have a strong Olympic team, that bodes well for how the national team's going to play out. So, yeah, watch the Olympic Games and look at the future talent that we have in our country. And I'd love to see us knock off some teams.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hoping that we can get some of that fervor and fever and excitement back, because it really does feel like it hit the skids with the loss in Copa and just the wah, 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 here we go again. So maybe if the red, white, and blue represents in Paris, then there'll be some excitement again.
That's right. And we're going up against France right away. We're going up against Australia. So there'll be some battles. And again, I play goalkeeper. I know this. We stole a lot of games when I was a goalkeeper just because our defense, we could shut out the other team. And if you get a goalkeeper who's on top of their game, that can carry you a long way. And with the additions we have on defense, you know, ties in that first round, that's okay. We just steal one win. So you can get through the initial rounds and then anything can happen. But we are definitely the underdog in the Olympics.
Jesse Bradley, always good to hear your voice and to hear your insight. You can find him on Twix at Jesse J. Bradley. And not only is he a former pro soccer goalie himself who's got the world perspective, but we love to hear him talk about soccer today. He's a pastor, he's an author, he's a speaker, he's working through 28 Days of Hope. So you want to check it all out on his either his website or on Twix. Jesse, it's good to catch up with you again. Thank you so much.
You too, Amy. And a shout out to Seattle Sounders. We won a lot of games in a row. We're climbing the standings. So of course, I got to give that shout out. But yeah, 28 Days of Hope. Thanks for mentioning that. Just choosehope.org. And anyone that needs some encouragement this summer, that's a great place to go. Amy, thanks for all you do, of course, including soccer, but you cover all the sports so well, always with passion. You're on top of your game and you're worth staying up for and listening to the show. And I'd love to hear you during the daytime as well, but I'm grateful that we can catch, you know, through podcasts. You're on over 300 stations around the world, and that's because people are tuned in. They value what you're saying, and you're able to speak into life. And I always say sports just teaches us about life, and I appreciate how you bring it, your heart, your insights. So keep up the good work.
Now, see, truth be told, that's why we have Jesse Bradley on the show repeatedly. No. It's because he's got such great insight about soccer and also gives us an insider's perspective on what it means to play the beautiful game around the world. And yes, good for the United States having sent, well, will be sending a men's team to the Olympics. It's not the same national team that is preparing for the World Cup, completely different team, but at least there's hope. Speaking of hope, except I feel like I've been duped before, so I don't know that I dare to hope again for Team USA. Still no coach. So we're keeping our eyes on that. I look almost every day, Google it. Does the U.S. men's national team have a coach yet? 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. Always good to connect with you. Good. Is it a good Monday if you're waking up already on your Monday? I'm not sure it is, but good morning if it is your Monday. Ouch. Here's our latest sports update.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There is LeBron James. Thor will pick him up. Steph. LeBron drives for the lead. He puts it in. With 8 seconds remaining, South Sudan has a timeout to use, and they will use it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't know if a close call is the right term to apply to South Sudan versus Team USA in a tune-up for the Olympics. It's still an exhibition, so even had they lost, it's not as though the ground would be shaking. However, it would have been the biggest basketball victory in the history of South Sudan. I'll just be perfectly honest. I didn't know that South Sudan was fielding an Olympic team in basketball. I would have thought, if anything, it would have been the entire nation. So it shows you what I know. But for the South Sudanese, they nearly came up with a huge victory over the red, white, and blue on Saturday night in London. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the call there on Fox Sports. And LeBron James really showed that even at his advanced age across the pond, he was able to not only score that driving layup with a handful of seconds to go. If you saw the game, South Sudan took the lead on a three by a former NBA player, actually, JT Thor, his name. And that put the Sudanese up 100-99. It's a lot of points, like an all-star game. The first half of an all-star game. 100-99 with 20 seconds to go in London. And I don't know if you want to play the cut again. You hear some of the fanfare and the horns and everything else behind it. This is so not an NBA game when there's noisemakers. It sounds more like a soccer game.
There is LeBron James. Thor will pick him up. Cole over Steph. LeBron drives for the lead. He puts it in. With 8 seconds remaining, South Sudan has a timeout to use, and they will use it.
Doesn't it sound like there's an air horn in the background somewhere?
The vuvuzela.
Yeah, that's right. It could be the vuvuzela. And so it was crazy atmosphere there, and it seemed like people were cheering for the upset. Maybe they're still cranky about the Revolutionary War and all that jazz. So the Americans escaped courtesy of LeBron, and he did show great leadership in the rally in which they came from behind by double digits. But at halftime, the Americans were trailing by 14, but really toward the end of the third and on into the fourth, they were able to take control. Part of the reason they were stuck in that hole is because the three-point shooting was, as Charles Barkley would say, horror awful. I think they missed 14 out of 15 threes. My goodness. What are you all, James Harden? They missed 14 out of 15 threes in a stretch. And because they kept shooting them, really were kind of stuck in the mud offensively. So, yeah, I guess it speaks to what they can do versus what they were doing when you realize that they had just 44 points at halftime and we're able to finish with over 100, right? So there's that, I guess, if we're looking for the silver lining. And Steve Kerr, he's the head coach of the team, trying to find the right groups to put out there, both the first wave and the second wave, taking full responsibility.
I did not do a great job preparing our team. I think we did not focus enough on what they're capable of. And that's on me, and that I think that really allowed South Sudan to gain confidence early. The ending was good for us, just to feel that, to feel what it's going to be like in Paris and Lille. So good experience for us. Good reminder that when we play against teams, it's the biggest game of their lives.
Yeah, that point I think is critical to realize that when Team USA steps on the court, really in any sport, but specifically in one where there are pro athletes and where for basketball, soccer, where you're talking about the best that our nation has to offer, and I'm thinking women's soccer mostly, but basketball for sure, softball, baseball, a little bit different because you don't have the same pro presence. When it comes to pro athletes and knowing that the NBA has the best basketball players on the planet, but that, you know, the majority of those are Americans. Not all of them, obviously. We're seeing more and more of an international influence, more and more of an influx of international talent. I mean, think about the French squad and the guys that are on the French squad that will be repping the home country there, the home nation, and having the support of the fans behind them. That's a big deal. So we're seeing more and more of the talent kind of spread out, but still, the best collection, I should say, of talent in basketball represents the United States of America. And so every other nation gives their absolute best shot to Team USA. And then it's worth noting as well, they're in a better position than the women are, but in the women, for the women, they're just getting together now to start running up to the Olympics. We'll have to travel soon. But for the American men, yeah, they've been able to play for several weeks together. Remember, they were in Las Vegas during Summer League, actually. I think that was probably just so LeBron could watch his son play when he was not practicing with Team USA. You know, he's got some clout and all. So they were in Vegas for a week and a half, maybe. And they were battling against the select group, right, that included Cooper Flagg, the 17-year-old who's headed to Duke. Then they went to Abu Dhabi and played a couple of games there, including against the Serbians, and that was Nikola Jokic. That was in between when he was trying to recruit Russell Westbrook to the Nuggets. Man, they're always doing business on the side. And now they're in London and soon will be in France. They're getting the benefit of several weeks of playing together, but a lot of these nations, they've been playing together for a couple of months. In some cases, even if they have NBA players, the entire group's been together since the NBA season ended. And not all of those guys played until deep into June, right? The majority of NBA players were done long before the NBA finals were over. And so there's a disparity there as well when it comes to preparation. A lot of national teams for other countries, they even practice year-round. They'll play year-round in tournaments. Whereas Team USA, it's a roster that's pulled from so many different NBA teams and so many superstars that it's impossible to get them together a year before the Olympics. Even if they do have a training camp of sorts, NBA players aren't going to participate in a U.S. training camp after their own NBA seasons. Are you kidding? That'd be like asking them to show up and run wind sprints on a Saturday morning. No, they're going to assume that they can get together and figure it out with a few weeks as a run-up. And because they're no longer in season, it's a little easier for them as opposed to what it is for the women who are in season right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence online, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Speaking of the women, coming up next hour, we'll talk about that WNBA All-Star game against the Olympians. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark on the team together for the first time, which is pretty cool. And actually, I felt like Angel Reese had a different tone than what we've heard from her about Caitlin Clark. Now, Caitlin's always been really complimentary of Angel, and they've been playing against each other for a long time. But to hear Angel talk about Caitlin Clark in a different way, I guess when she's the one throwing you the ball and you recognize that her passing skills are a huge benefit to your own game, well, then maybe you change your tune a little bit. So yeah, the WNBA All-Star game was over the weekend. Yeah, Major League Baseball All-Star game was last week, and then their Hall of Fame inductions on Saturday. So we'll get to that as well. Coming off the Open Championship, Xander Schauffele, who is headed to the Olympics. He's the defending gold medalist from several years ago. Now is the owner of two major wins, which is awesome. But it did leave Justin Rose frustrated and emotional in his wake. So we'll talk about that as well. And how about NFL training camps? They're underway, almost all of them. And within a couple of days, yeah, every single one of the franchises will have both rookies and their veterans in camp. And I feel like there's something comforting about having a John Harbaugh or any Harbaugh in front of a microphone talking about football. But this might be a talking point. He was standing in front of the mic. He was doing what he does, holding court, and there's stuff about Lamar Jackson that we can get to. But he was commenting on the Ravens hiring Eddie Jackson.
I remember him running to the ball for Alabama, you know, when we were looking at the draft and having all these good years in Chicago playing against him. Now to have him here, see, I happened to be at the hotel last night doing bed check when he came in,
what?
You know, on his flight. And I was like, oh, you're taller than I remember. You know, it's like, I just saw him 3 days ago. So he's ready to go. Big smile on his face. Very excited.
Wait, what? Forget the Eddie Jackson part. That's cool and all. And for those of you who don't remember Eddie Jackson, or if you're outside of Chicago, he's a former Chicago running back, and they've signed him. And so he spent his years. No, wrong Eddie Jackson. What am I thinking? That was Eddie Jackson. Yeah, the safety. I don't know why I said running back. Sorry. So they signed Eddie Jackson, and they're bringing him in, and that's great and all. But did you hear his part about bed checks? Bed checks?
Yeah.
So, bed checks.
Yeah, so they put, like, I know this is for college, too. They put tape on the doors. So they, if the tape is missing or gone, the coaches will know that the players have left and broken their training camp regimen or something like that.
Bed checks.
Yeah.
These are professional athletes, and they have tape on their doors?
You saw what happened in the bubble in the NBA. You got to have the
checks. Okay, this is not COVID, and it's no, you don't have to have checks. Okay, you and I are completely different generations, but I can't imagine being a professional athlete, first of all, and they don't stay in dorms anymore, but being a professional athlete and having a curfew, B, which I would probably abide by just because it's the start of training camp and I wouldn't want to get my rear end kicked in the heat when I'm having to work out. I don't know how much they do running, blah, 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 whatever. But your coach comes around and does bed checks. This is not college. This is not high school camp in the summertime, overnight sleep camp. This is bed checks for professional athletes.
More important than sleepover camp.
Well, I don't
know. Super Bowl versus summer camp.
But how? Okay, I guess. But why, though? If you're pro athletes are going to go out and do whatever it is they do, then they're going to show up the next day and throw up when you do wind sprints, and you're going to know, but I don't know. Who cares? As long as they're doing what they need to do, bed checks? It's July. It'd be one thing to do, and this even so is kind of crazy, one thing to do a bed check before the Super Bowl. So the night of the Super Bowl, yeah, we got a curfew. I want everybody in their rooms by such and such a time. Tomorrow's the biggest day of your lives. That's one thing. July, the start of training camp, and you're doing bed checks. Okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.